No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Keith this week. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. So Keith is in St. Louis. I'm here at our home base of operations in Orlando. Ed is off this week once again. He can't really do more than 1 week in a row. Isn't that kind of the quota or his MO there, Keith, you think?
We wear him out.
We wear him out. You know, he can only take so much before he has to drown his sorrows and end up in some drunk tank in some small suburban Florida town. So if you see Keith, you see Ed, feel free to wave to him and bail him out if he needs that service. However, we will continue and have a lot of stuff to delve into today. Are you ready, Keith?
I am ready. Let's do it.
First off, let's talk about this. I don't know. Maybe it's just the season of stunts. You know, we were talking about the gyrocopter guy last couple of weeks who landed on the Capitol lawn and was protesting, you know, corporate takeovers or special interest. Who knows what it was saying. He had some kind of cause, but he ended up kind of giving general aviation a little bit of a black eye by landing his gyrocopter on the land on the lawn there and potentially causing some more ruckus for us general aviators and more rules coming down the pike. It hadn't happened yet that I can tell, which is good, but hey, it's early in the process. We'll see how that dies down. I don't know, and we talked about it ad nauseum last couple of weeks, so we're not going to delve into that too much again this week. However, I think the consensus was we believed in his cause, didn't really believe in his tactics, I guess, just because of the potential downside of how it makes all the other private pilots look. Right, Keith?
I would agree.
You would agree. Okay.
Yep.
So we got this other guy in Canada, and he didn't use a gyrocopter. He used a lawn chair and a bunch of helium balloons. So I got to give him credit from the standpoint that I didn't think that was possible, or I guess maybe you just didn't think anybody would be dumb enough to do it. But he did it. He got like, I don't know, it looks like 20 big helium balloons, attached him to his lawn chair, and up and away he went. And I guess he had the idea that he was going to jump out of the lawn chair and parachute down into some event. He misjudged a little bit and didn't hit his mark, but did land just in the right spot where the local authorities could arrest him and fine him accordingly. So,
how convenient.
Yes. It worked out well for them, I guess. Maybe he misjudged, landed right in front of the courthouse. I don't know but what is going on? I mean, I don't know. This is just seems insane to me. Does it to you?
Well, first of all, he's not the first one to try that. I mean, that's been tried numerous times before.
Yeah. Successfully?
Well, yeah, successfully.
Okay, that. It's just one of those things. It's a balloon thing, huh?
It's a balloon thing, yeah. I mean, you look at the hot air balloons, you know, and helium is just another one of those things. If you get enough of them together, they're going to lift you off the ground. So, yeah. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast, if you will.
If you were to stay under, 500 feet, you would be okay? Maybe, is that the deal? If you were going to do that on a small scale, like a drone kind of thing, or... I wonder.
Well, I mean, you're taking a pretty big risk no matter how you do that because you've got no way to really control your ascend and your descent or where you're going.
No, wait, yeah, you do.
Because there's no way to – how?
Yeah. Well, you when you get too high, you blow one out of the air. Like, hey, Joe, when I get up to about 250, knock out that blue one for me, will ya? You know, and –
But how do you know exactly where the wind is going to take you and that you're not going to come down on top of something like electrical lines or like a spiked fence or something like that?
Well, true. So
so no matter how you look at it, you're taking a pretty good chance by hooking some balloons up to a lawn chair and climbing.
I would agree. I would think there's a certain amount of crazy involved in this whole stunt. But I'm not so sure if the FAA or anybody for that matter really cares that someone's willing to put themselves at risk. It's is what they could cause problems for other people, like general aviators. And I guess the rule, but wouldn't it be for just like airships? It would be the same kind of thing, wouldn't it? With hot air balloons, isn't it like they got to be, isn't it under 500 feet or something like that? Or do you know off the top of your head?
Well, yeah, you got to stay low, but the big difference between those is they've got a way to steer themselves.
Okay, and but if they don't have a way to steer themselves, is that a violation of some sort, or is that just you're dumb? You didn't think this through very well.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much you're dumb.
Okay, yeah, because let's face it, you're using a lawn chair and balloons you pick up at the party store down the street and filling them with helium. It wasn't a lot of thought that went into this, I'm thinking. You know what I mean? So
I would totally agree.
Yeah. So directions and way the wind is going to blow you and all that kind of thing. I think that's the last thing they're thinking about. They're just wondering if it'll actually work. You know, Billy Bob and Joe Bob, you know, they're a team, and whoever draws the long stick gets to stay on the ground or something. I don't know. But it just seems...
You know, I'm a redneck from the word go. I will admit that right up front.
Yeah?
But that's pretty redneck.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's even beyond your level of redneck?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're saying that's a bit much. Okay, I hear you, Keith. All right, well, let's just agree that that's a little bit extreme. You know, the crazy has set in. Maybe it's just too hot this summer or something. I don't know. But I have a feeling we're going to hear more crazy stories like this that could potentially affect aviators in a negative way. In that case, I don't think that will reflect poorly on general aviation, with the exception of if you were to be up in your plane and you saw someone flying around in their lawn chair with a bunch of balloons. Which, and actually, I would kind of like to see that. I would probably pay for that extra, you know, view to see.
Well, you know, take it out to the middle of a field someplace where, you know, you really don't have too much danger of running into anything.
Right.
And really hurt yourself, really. And, you know, go ahead and do it. But, you know, don't do it in the middle of town where you're going to end up in somebody's front lawn or in front of the courthouse or whatever. You know what I mean? Just a tad bit of common sense would, you know, be beneficial.
Yeah, well, for you. I mean, and I guess if you're trying to make a stunt or make a statement with this type of stump, it obviously worked. We're talking about it, but I don't know what he was trying to do.
Here's your sign.
Just make a bunch of noise. What?
Here's your sign.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, well, some other things that are kind of on the loose side of aviation. I actually saw something via the web this week where somebody was giving tips on how to deal with smelly seatmates. So if your co-pilot is having a rough day at the office after a day of flying, I mean, has this happened to you when you're doing your flight training? And the co-pilot or the student is like, yo, dude, really?
Warm Florida.
Yeah, I'm
it's going to happen.
This is the time. So you just deal with it? Or do you have any kind of, you know, special social tips that you could share with a young aviator like myself that if I come across this problem, I can bring it up respectfully and say, dude, this is a place for a stick up. And I mean, whoa, yeah, you're ripe. I mean, how do you do this? Politically, in a politically correct kind of way. Keith, do you have any suggestions?
You know, we've got some folks. We have one gentleman in particular who is a construction worker.
Right. His nickname is Pigpen or what? No?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, he's really a nice guy. He's a fairly large gentleman. You know, he's a big, burly construction worker guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, when he's out there in that heat all day long, and then he comes in to fly, you know, he'll come right out and tell you, man, I'm sorry, but I just got done working and I stink a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just, fortunately nowadays the air vents are pretty good in the airplanes, and you know you point everything at him, and it just kind of swirls around him, so he gets to smell it, and you're okay.
Well, what if a person is not as forthcoming as Pigpen is, and just he just reeks, and you're just like, dude, what? You know, do you say something? Do you just try to avoid it yourself and deal with it accordingly, or do you just say, hey, I'm out of here. I'm sorry, you smell bad, dude. We're gonna have to do this another day.
Well, you know, as customer service oriented as we are,
yeah,
we're going to deal with it.
You're going to deal with it.
Now, now, for me, it's not near as bad as it is for, you know, somebody like Ed, because I sit way up above most people.
Aha.
And so I've got an advantage there that, you know, Ed's kind of nestled in their armpits a little bit. You know what I mean? He's kind of short and stocky, so, you know.
Hey, but, we're not here to judge. If that's what, you know, if that's what his thing is, smelling armpits, I'm not going to, you know.
Well, maybe that's why he can only handle 1 week in a row. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, fortunately, we don't have to deal with that very often.
Okay.
So, it's not that big of a deal. Now, on a passenger airplane, that's another story.
And we got some tips along those lines that we can share with you next right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Attention pilots, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device every pilot needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/plane to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
A buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on a square. Tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is the website to go to and sign up to learn to fly with Ed and Keith. Ed is on hiatus this week, so we are holding down the fort and navigating the latest aviation news and information. And here's something that kind of goes all across the board, whether it's general aviation, commercial flights, you name it. This is an issue that I don't think we've addressed on the show before, but could come into play on many levels. Now,
it could even come into play at the office.
Well, true. There's stinky people all over. And
there is.
You know, when you have a stinky seatmate, yeah, whether you're in a small airplane or a commercial flight, it can create problems. And obviously, at this time of year, where we're based out of in Orlando, Florida, it's hard not to encounter such an episode because it is hot, it is muggy. You just got to be outside for 5-10 minutes or in your plane on the runway, and you are going to be dripping in sweat. Now, one of the tricks that Captain Ed uses in the, I thought this was pure genius on his part. I got to give him props because
don't do that.
Well, he's not
it,
here.
Do it now that he's do it without
exactly.
He's not here.
I'm not going to do it while he's here. No way.
Okay.
But since he's not, I'll go ahead and give him proper accolades. And he basically said, okay, we're training in a Cessna 172, and it does not have air conditioning. We're going to pop the windows open when we can. We're going to get some airflow from the prop, and that'll give us some air. Said, but it's just not going to be enough. Now, here's what I want you to do. Go in the refrigerator, pull out these ice packs. I got these plastic ice packs that we're going to set behind our lower back in the seat, and those are going to act like internal air conditioners for our bodies here in the airplane. And I'll be damned if they didn't work like a charm. That is a
they work very, very well.
Really,
we put them in a suitcase. I'm sorry, in a suitcase. I'm sorry. We put them in a pillowcase so that you don't have the ice directly on your back.
Yeah,
and man, it's amazing how cool that keeps you. I think it works better than one of them swamp coolers that sometimes people put in their airplanes.
Sure.
However, that works really well for keeping you from sweating. But if somebody's been sweating all day and they get there and they stink, it doesn't do anything for that.
Yeah. If they stink, they stink, and it's a matter of how do you deal with it and maintain. Now, here are a few tips that could work for you even on a commercial airliner. And matter of fact, this is where these tips come from, with someone who had a stinky seatmate and like an American Airlines flight. The first thing they suggested, if you have a problem, excuse yourself from your seat and alert the flight attendant to the problem, because evidently they are used to dealing with this quite often. And the flight attendants have some kind of protocol. I guess it's a stinky seatmate protocol that they put into gear and create like barriers with blankets and towels and smelling salt. I read some stuff. It's pretty insane. But evidently, this is it's more common problem than you or I would have ever thought. So first off, you can do that and alert the flight attendant. Maybe you can get an upgrade to another seat or first class or something like that. So that's first thing. If that doesn't work,
if there's a seat available.
Right, exactly. If you're stuck, you're stuck, and it's kind of up to you to deal with it. Now, here's some creative ideas. And I'm getting this online, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. But some of it actually kind of makes some sense in a twisted way. Tear out magazine pages with perfume samples and tuck a few in your carry-on. If your seatmate has a stale order, you can open them up and check out these strips of and put them up to your nose and test out some new fragrances in the meantime. Now, or you could take them and just kind of rub them up against your seatmate. I don't know. Like, oh, excuse me. And just accidentally rub it against them, and maybe they don't know. So that's one way. The other thing is you can get these scent-infused handkerchiefs. This is more kind of lady stuff, but I don't know. In this day and age, Keith B., he'll take all these tips up. The other thing is these personally sized containers of scented hand creams and products. My wife drives me crazy with this stuff. She has one of those hand cream things where she'll, put the lotion on her hands. But my God, it is like strong. She'll do it in the car, and I'll go, my God. And little did I know, what she's basically doing is trying to mask my odor. Now I know. I was getting mad at her, but now I know she was just trying to protect herself. But whatever you do, don't do what this lady aboard an American Airlines flight did back in 2007 by lighting a match in an attempt to covering the smell of her flatulence. that caused the entire airplane bound for Dallas Fort Worth from Washington to make an unscheduled stopover in Nashville. And I don't even know if that works. I think that's an old wives' tale about the match thing. Not that I've tried, Keith. But I'm
just come on. You've tried it. You've tried it many times.
Yeah.
But, here's another one of these things. How many times have you heard, you can't have, anything lit on the airplane?
Yeah.
And people still try and do it, flatulence, it's one of them things that happens on an airplane quite regularly because of the pressure changes. When you're going on a commercial airliner, especially when you're going from, basically sea level as we are in Orlando, or 600 feet or something like that here.
Right.
And you go up to altitude, the cabin is only going up to about 7,000 or 8,000 feet, mm-hmm. maybe 6,000 feet. But, you know, that's a lot of pressure change for your body. And so, yeah there's going to be a lot of that happening, you know. And, you know, so it happens pretty regularly. But at any rate.
So instead of blaming the dog.
Don't light matches.
Instead of blaming the dog in the airplane, you would blame the pressure change. I'm never like this on land. I just want to let you know. Let everybody know. Sorry.
Now, here's another idea for you.
What's that?
If you have a really pretty girl sitting next to you and she's got nice long hair.
Yeah, okay.
Ask her if you can smell her hair.
Okay. What, do you want to get arrested or something? What are you talking about? Why would you do this? You mean to mask the scent of someone else?
To use it, yeah, to use it as a filter for the smell. I actually did this one time.
Yeah, and then you realize, oh my God, it's you. You're so beautiful. How the hell? What crawled up inside you and died?
Yeah, no, it wasn't her. I knew exactly who it was.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I knew. Everybody knew who it was.
All right. So you masked the smell, but then when you landed, authorities took you away and she filed a restraining order and the whole thing?
No, because I asked permission before I did it.
Okay. Oh, boy.
And she very, very willingly obliged because, now, our situation was the fact that we had somebody who was, they shouldn't have been on the airplane. They were going through heroin withdrawal.
Okay.
And so this guy was, he was vomiting every few seconds. And it was, I mean, it was just awful.
You're like, oh my God.
That's the first time I've ever actually been right where somebody's going through withdrawal. But anyway,
hey,
that's where
it was. Hey, this guy smells like vomit. I smell your hair. What a pickup line.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, FTPros.com, the website to go to and learn how to fly. All right, so Keith, you know, we got to save the planet. So that's either electric or solar, according to Al Gore. And so far, we're having
the man who uses more electricity than anybody.
Well, maybe. But, you know, we don't need to get too political today, even though I know that's where you would like to navigate to. Let's just talk about the technology.
You started by going to Al Gore.
No, I didn't. I'm trying to do a story here. Just go with me here.
Okay. All right.
All
right. I'm just going to be quiet.
The technology, you know, we're having trouble with it catching up a little bit. You know, they're doing this flight around the world, the solar-powered plane, which is kind of cool. I mean, it's a neat thing this guy's been doing, but evidently he got to Hawaii. And they realized that they had a problem. So they haven't made it all the way around the world. And I guess now the flight is going to be delayed until like April because he got up there and something wasn't they didn't calibrate something right or realize that the batteries that they were using, they were being charged by the solar power flying through the sky there were getting too hot. So
they shouldn't have used lithium batteries.
You think that's what it was? I think he just liked the idea of, hey, you know, if we're going to just postpone this for a while, let's just stay in Hawaii.
Let's just live in Hawaii for 6 months.
Exactly. You know, if
9 months.
If we're going to be stranded for a while, I could think of a few worse places to be. So, yeah, that's where they're going to hang and work out the, you know, the problems that they're having with the overheated batteries. I think with the university there in Hawaii. So that one's kind of on hold till, I think, I'm pretty sure it was till April. So they got a ways before they continue their flight around the world. Now, the other one is electric airplanes. And Airbus and this other company were racing to be the first plane or electric airplane or battery-operated airplane to fly over the English Channel. And Airbus did it this past Friday. So, or last Friday, I should say, the 10th or something. Yeah, there you go. And so they've won the first leg of the race, but not without controversy. We'll talk about that and much, much more right here on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. We are navigating the latest aviation news and information. All right, so our first electric airplanes, one was done by Airbus, another one by the Cree Cree by Crystalline Aircraft or something. I don't even know how they say it. But there are two companies, and they were trying to be the first electric airplane to fly across the English Channel. They did this on July 10th, and it was Airbus that that won that particular race, even though there's some controversy about that because the other company says they did, but at the last minute they got a call from their engine manufacturer, said, hey, you're not certified to be able to fly this over water or blah, blah, blah. And there's some big conspiracy going on that that Airbus may have done something to throw this other company under the Airbus. You hear what I'm saying, Keith?
I do.
Because they, they wanted
so,
to be...
So the name of the company is Cry Cry?
Is that... Maybe that's what it is. It is now, I'm sure. But there's definitely some controversy about who did it first or, you know, who gets the bragging rights. I don't know, who cares? Both of them. If they did it, that's great. And to further along the electric technology, I think would be kind of cool to have that. I saw something on AOPA Live to one of the correspondents. He actually flew in this EFAN, the one from Airbus, and was talking about how he was up there and it flew really well. It was doing like 80 knots on cruising, could go up to 120, which is quite impressive, just like what you would have in like a Cessna 182 or 172 or something. And but it's all electric. But he said you couldn't really take your eye off the power meter because you're like, if the power goes down on your batteries, you better get that puppy down quick, I guess, is the way he was looking at it, which I could understand. And whenever you went faster, obviously that drained the batteries quicker. So you were constantly kind of looking like, okay, I better make sure I keep my power management in place so I have plenty of juice left to lay this puppy down on land and on the runway as opposed to in the English Channel or wherever else you're flying. You know what I'm saying, Keith?
I do.
Do you think it's the future?
That creates,
yeah. What?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say because that is a problem. You know, what happens when you lose power? They have to get them down pretty quick, and you don't have the opportunity like we do to glide for quite a distance.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? If you lost, it would be no different than having a piston power failure, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know what the glide ratio is on those things.
Well, let's see. One of them has a low wing thing. I don't know what the EFAN, if it's a low or high wing. I was thinking that was a high wing, actually, kind of like a Cessna, but I'm not seeing a picture of it right now on the story that I'm looking at. But it's called the Airbus EFAN, and I thought it looked similar to, like, you know, a high-wing Cessna type of thing. But regardless, I mean, it would have some glide slope to it, or, I mean, distance to it, regardless, right?
Well, yeah, it'll have some, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. All airplanes have some. You take a jetliner, you know, airliner, it's very little, but, you know, they stay up for a while because they got so much altitude, but... you know, the other issue that you're dealing with here is the weight of the batteries. They're very, very heavy. I mean, anybody who's picked up a car battery knows. So that's going to be the issue. How do you get rid of the weight to be able to carry a payload of any sort? And then the other thing is, how do you make them last long enough so that you can take a flight that's of any distance. I mean, you know, they got the electric cars out, and, you know, they don't even have anything that basically runs more than, you know, 250 miles at this point.
Yeah, well, true. So, yeah. So it's a problem for flying, for sure. Yeah, that's it'll only get you for short flights. But hopefully that technology will grow, and they'll get smaller, lighter, and more powerful and all that kind of thing. And maybe 5 years from now, it will be the standard. I would imagine an electric airplane like that, just like an electric car, would almost fly more like a glider. It'd be quiet, wouldn't it?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, and that would be pretty sweet. I would really like that because I would love just being able to hear the wind as opposed to all the motor stuff. It'd be like, you know, it's like sailing on a sailboat. That makes it so much more romantic as opposed to being on a powerboat. I think that would apply to an airplane like this, but I don't know. We'll have to talk to some of these folks that have been
test flying. I think you just need to go out and do a glider flight and see what it's really like.
Well, I want to wait till the electric plane. I would rather do an electric. I mean, glider would be nice, but I would love to have the effects of a glider in a powered airplane, like an electric airplane. Maybe it'll be a hybrid of a combination of the two. I don't know. You think? No, is that the few? You just don't. Are you not buying into this whole thing? You don't believe that's the way it's going to go?
Well, you know, a friend of mine told me many, many years ago that the world is going electric. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been proven correct in many areas. And so, yeah, I think that it probably will happen, but will it be for mass transportation like airlines and stuff? Not anytime real soon.
Yeah. Well, not real soon for sure on commercial airliners. But, man, if we could do the electric thing. And turn these in our 172s into hybrids where, I think that'd be pretty sweet. It could happen in our lifetime for sure. No, yay?
Well, I think it'd be close. I don't know. I don't know if it'd be my lifetime.
Yeah, well, you're getting old. True.
I'm getting old.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, or either that or solar power. Do you think the solar
power
thing?
People don't have to worry about me on the airplane because I fart dust.
Okay. Well, that's we have matches and perfume scented sheets in magazines for things like that. We learned about that earlier.
So, there you go.
Yeah, but what do you think? You think the solar airplane thing or the battery operated airplane is going to be the way to go? Well, I mean, the solar airplane is going to have batteries, but you know what
I mean?
Yeah,
it's kind of one and the same because you got the solar panels. Solar panels themselves can be lighter because they can be made into the structure of the wing.
Yeah.
But it still has batteries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess time will tell. So let's move on to some other stuff because, you know, we are gearing up for AirVenture. Are you excited about this or what?
I am very excited about AirVenture.
Yeah. You know, we're going to be there for the last weekend. We get in on Friday, the last weekend of the event, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday there in Oshkosh. And I'm really excited from the standpoint that this will be my second time because I went there last year and hung out for a day or two. You have never been, though. Am I right?
I have. That is correct.
So what do you expect to encounter there in Oshkosh this year? What do you think from your perspective? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm just looking forward to the whole thing. I mean, I know that it's a whole lot bigger than Sun and Fun, which we've been to for years.
Yeah, your feet will definitely hurt. There's no question.
And that's fine with me. You know, I can deal with that. I'm just looking forward to talking to all the people. I mean, they're so, you know, we've met so many people at Sun and Fun, and I'm sure it's going to be the exact same way, if not even better, here at EAA.
Yeah, you know, and I will tell you, you know, last year I went out there and flew solo, literally, because Ed and Keith couldn't make it at the last minute. So I went out there and kind of flew blind through the event, and it's laid out really well and wasn't like overwhelming. I expected it to be overwhelming compared to Sun and Fun, but Sun and Fun is huge in its own right. But supposedly AirVenture is like, I don't know, three times bigger or something like that. But as far as how it's laid out and how it's organized, it didn't seem, you know, that overwhelming from trying to get out there and see as many exhibits and cool things. And man, some of the displays were just massive. Ford in particular puts on this big stage thing, and they got like every vehicle they make, including an Apollo 11 themed Ford Mustang or something that they have on display this year. But they got the stage set up there where Dirk Bentley is going to kick it off, I guess, at the beginning of the week. We'll miss him, but at the end of the week on Saturday night, they got an Eagles tribute band playing, and then they got festivities, you know, every day, and you know, you go test drive simulator race car things that they have in their tent. It's an impressive display of stuff, and you're like, wow, you could spend several hours just in this one exhibit. Now, I was only there for like a day and a half, so I just kind of walked through and just wandered around as much as I could to experience the whole thing. Had some cheese curds. Mark that one off the list. We don't need that this time, okay?
Oh, come on. You got to have cheese curds. You're in Wisconsin.
No, I went last year. I got cheese curds. This year, we'll go, but you'll have the cheese curds, and I'll watch your face while you eat them.
Hey, I like cheese curds, so they're good for you, man.
They're good for your heart. Attack. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I gave Willie the greatest gift of all.
Chase, you sure about this?
The gift of flight.
What could go wrong?
A lot could go wrong.
I mean, you're strapped in.
I'm aware I'm strapped in.
Enjoy the ride, man.
You got it, baby.
I don't know. This something doesn't feel right.
Put him in orbit.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Let's fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith of Flight Training Professionals. All right, so we're headed to Air Venture next week. You can listen in and hear our coverage wall-to-wall as we do our special broadcast from the event next Saturday right here on Just Plain Radio. Or look us up. We'll be wandering the aisles here at Air Venture in Oshkosh all day. The second weekend, the final weekend of Air Venture. So make sure if you do see us, come up, say, Keith, you owe me money. Maybe he'll slip you a fiver. That's the most you'll get out of Keith. And for me, don't ask me for anything. If anything, you should give me stuff. Right, Keith?
Yeah, because you're just going to tell him to go ask me for the money anyway.
True.
Save yourself the steps.
Yeah. Good point. All right, a couple little tidbits we'll share with you before we wrap things up today. The FAA has just released a new updated advisory for pilots that are stepping up to something faster, making a switch to an experimental aircraft or renting familiar model airplanes with different avionics, that kind of thing. Transitioning to unfamiliar aircraft is what it's all about. It's Advisory Circular 90-909A, Transition to Unfamiliar Aircraft, and it was released June 29th. That's kind of nice that they're putting that out there, and I guess that is something that you need to be aware of when you're trying to get, I mean, this isn't necessarily for things like you're trying to get a different certification. It's just if you're flying something you haven't flown before. If you're certified on one particular Cessna 172, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're good to go and something that has newer avionics and that kind of thing, Keith? Is that what they're talking about or what?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you train in, say, an old-style aircraft, which we call steam gauge, and you are renting a G1000 172, it's still a 172. It flies exactly the same, but you need to learn how to operate all the radios and navigation equipment. And so you can't just jump in the thing and go.
Well, you can, but you might kill yourself or everyone around you if you're not
Well, you know, if you don't have to talk to anybody and you don't have to do any kind of navigation at all whatsoever, you might be okay. But, you know, it's kind of like you get to your destination and you rent a car and it's at night. And you get in a car and you start it because, you know, you've driven a car hundreds of times. Yeah. So you get in a car, you start it, and you back out of the parking space and you start heading on down the road and you realize the lights aren't on and you're fumbling around trying to figure out how to turn the lights on, how to turn the radio on, all those kind of things. You just feel like you're kind of lost. Mm-hmm. You're in a car.
Yeah.
You know, you got hundreds of hours of driving a car, but you're lost in it. And an airplane is the same way. And, you know, so if you're using the same aircraft, it's just a matter of how to operate the equipment that's in that airplane. However, if you're going to a different type of aircraft, let's say you're going to a low-wing single-engine airplane, mm-hmm. then the speeds and so forth are very, very close, but the landing characteristics of that airplane are a little bit different. And so there's little idiosyncrasies that you have to make sure that you are well aware of. I recommend that anybody who gets into another airplane that you haven't flown before, the first thing that you do is minimum controllable airspeed. Do your stalls, do your steep turns, because you want to know what that airplane feels like when it's just about to stall. Any airplane that you get into, that's what you need to do, the very first thing that you want to do. Take off, get out to the practice area, check those things out first, then you can start working on the navigation and everything else.
Well, you would have to do that with the airplane's owner or manager or something like that before you did that off on your own, wouldn't you?
You got to take out a flight instructor. You know, if I go someplace on vacation or something, I want to rent an airplane. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I'm a fairly experienced pilot. I own a flight school, so I do a lot of training there, and I fly airliners. Okay, big deal. If I go to some place, I'm going to rent their airplane. I'm going to take an instructor because it's a different area of the country. So there's, you know, terrain that you got to look at. You know, there's other things. Maybe it's a different kind of airplane. I'm going to let them get comfortable with me. I'm going to get comfortable with them. Mm-hmm. Make sure you check the logbooks and all those kinds of things.
Okay. So, yeah, you need to have orientation with the terrain. And then you need to have someone who's familiar with the particular avionics or characteristics of that particular model of plane that you're considering renting or borrowing or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
So is that just a matter of paying somebody as a flight instructor there at the facility that you're getting the plane from? Paying their way for a flight or so for 30
absolutely.
Minutes, an hour, whatever it takes?
Whatever it takes, yeah.
Yeah.
So that you can get comfortable, so that they can feel comfortable that you know how to take off and land and you can handle the airplane and know what you're doing. If you're going into an area that's mountainous terrain, you might want to spend some time with them helping you figure out, you know, different areas and where you can go, where you can't go, and all those kinds of things. Flying in the mountains is very, very different than flying in the flatlands of Florida.
You never want to fly in the mountains or into the mountains. That's kind of how it sounded to me.
Well, no, but, you know, flying in mountainous areas.
Yes, now,
you're right,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but, you know, the other thing is if you're going to a higher performance airplane, So now, you know, you don't have a fixed pitch prop anymore. Now you've got a prop that you can control the pitch on, and maybe you can retract the landing gear and things like that. Yeah, you definitely want to have some transition training there.
Good. All right. Well, when we're at AirVenture next week, we need to go talk to some pilots and see if we can go for some flights and do just that. Are you with me?
Oh, you don't want to see if they'll just let us take their airplane and go?
Well, not without an orientation flight first. Have you flown over AirVenture? Have you seen all them airplanes? There's a lot of navigational hazards, being other airplanes in particular.
I have seen that, and I have no desire to go fly there just by myself. No.
Okay, so you'll have me with you. I'll have your back.
As long as you're not curled up underneath the back seat like you were with Ed when you went into Sun and Fun the first time.
Okay, I won't do that, but I might smell because we're going to be there in the entire day, and it might be kind of warm that weekend, so we'll have to wait and see, okay?
Yeah, but I might smell as well, so we'll cancel each other out.
All right, and on that disturbing note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.